We're glad you're here today. Something I want you to think about today as we go through this message today, as I share what God's put on my heart to share with you today. I want you to be thinking about, I know God has a message for you and for me in this today. He's already been speaking to us today, right? Any of you been hearing from the Lord already today? God's speaking to you. I want you to think about, at the end of this today, who in your life needed to have heard this? What you heard today. Now I want to warn you before you pray this prayer with me. I want to warn you that God may put some people on your heart that He may give you a burden for them, and He doesn't let you go about it. Okay, so let's pray again. Lord, in just a moment, we're going to open Your Word. We'll see what You have to say to us today. I thank You that Your Word is clear and plain and speaks to us. But Lord, Your Word isn't just for the people that happen to be in the confines of this building or other buildings like it all over the city of Savannah. Your Word is for the many people that aren't in the confines of these buildings. They need You today. Desperately. Their lives are shambles. Lord, some folks realize it, but many don't, because it's the way they've been living life without You. And I'm asking You today, Lord, that You will put people on our hearts today. As we receive from You, that we could share this message with. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I was in college. I was a student at Armstrong State College at that time, was the name of it. And I had purchased something that my daddy helped me get over my mother's dead body. I had a motorcycle. And it just about got both of us exited. It's pretty safe with it, I thought. I was riding down Skidaway Road. One afternoon, it was a Saturday afternoon. In fact, I was on my way home, and I got to the intersection of Skidaway. I was headed south of Skidaway and Eisenhower. I'd ridden this motorcycle many, many times. I'd been to the mountains on it. I'd spent a week riding that thing, just with a backpack on it. Camping out all over the place. Great experience. I'd never had an accident. I'd never had anything close to that. And, I was running through the gears, just enjoying that afternoon, riding down Skidaway. And all of a sudden, things changed, just like that. There was a car at the intersection there on Eisenhower, and he looked right at me. And in fact, improper preposition there. He wasn't looking at me. He looked through me. He didn't see me. I know he didn't. And pulled out in front of me. Now, they say you have these experiences sometimes where when an accident like that or something happens, like time seems to just slow down. And it's like you can see your life flashing before you. I had one of those experiences. I immediately locked up the brakes. I had a foot brake for the rear, hand brake for the front. Locked them up, and the bike started just sliding. And I'm getting closer and closer to this car. And I'm thinking, and all, in the split second, I'm thinking, okay, all right, I'm going to let this thing slide down, and I'm going to let the motorcycle go under the car, and I'm going to follow it. Right there. All that, in a split second, all that is going through my mind. The car finally saw me, and he sped up. I was able then to adjust my trajectory just a little bit. I jerked the wheel around and managed to get it stuck. It wasn't sliding anymore. It was rolling again. And I missed him about this far. Went on by. I got about a half a block down the road and I started shaking. That's right, Daniel. And I pulled the bike off the side of the road because I couldn't hold on to the handlebars. I was shaking so bad. And I got off of it and I just walked around. I thank God I was still alive. Now, I tell you that story to tell you about this right here. Flexibility. I thank God for flexibility that day. On two counts. Number one, I thank God that the driver who had probably gone through that intersection many, 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 many times had turned there. I thank God that he was flexible enough to change his path and speed up. And he saw me. That probably saved my life. Or save me from getting hurt. Great deal. Also thank God that someone somewhere along the way had taught me a little bit about riding a motorcycle and to get the wheels rolling again where I had control over it and so I could move it just ever so slightly to get it out of the way. Flexibility. On two sides, flexibility was a great thing in my life. And I tell you that story today because the message I want to preach is about biblical values that shape our future. And the one today we're going to look at is flexibility. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 6, it says, this is the great faith chapter. The Hall of Faith in chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews, which many think was the Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul to write it. I think it was Apollos that the Lord used to write it. Doesn't matter. It's God's Word. Here he says about faith. So you see, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about something that had never happened before. By the way, what had never happened before? There had never been rain. And never been a flood. And by his faith, he condemned the rest of the world and was made right in God's sight. See, Noah did find grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land. Where was old Abraham? He was down in Ur of the Chaldees. Goes with part of his family up to Haran. And God continues to speak to him and he leaves that and he goes into the promised land. Before it was the promised land for everybody else. It was just the promised land for him. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land that God had promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in a tent. And so did Isaac and Jacob, to whom God gave the same promise. And Abraham did this because he was confidently, get this now, a lot of people have missed this passage. They missed this. He was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. He was living in a tent looking for a city. He realized that this world was not his home, that he was just passing through. That's what that passage is about, part of what it's about. His home was not in this world, and that the things of this world were not the things that he was going to spend eternity with. You know, the only thing that we're going to spend eternity is just, and one another, because everything else he's going to make new, including us, of course. Now, several things we want to see about flexibility. Would you say that Abraham was flexible? Would you say that Noah was flexible? Would you say that everybody in chapter 11 of Hebrews that trusted God was flexible? Well, hold on to that question. We'll come back to it in just a minute. First thing out of this, first application I want to make for you today is flexibility is not part of our nature. You believe that? Well, if you don't believe that, let somebody get you out of your routine. Let me just give you one here. You say, oh, I'm flexible, preacher. Okay. Well, in the morning, I'm going to show up and I'm going to come get all of the coffee out of your house. Okay? All right. How flexible are we now? Huh? Did you have to have coffee? Is it for your survival? Well, I know several of you are saying, right, yes, it is. In fact, I just do it intravenously. Do you see? Even those of you, how many of you have taken the DISC inventory, the personality inventory, D-I-S-C? Any of you taking that? I know a lot of people in church have taken it. It's a personality inventory. Divides us into four major personality types. I won't go through all that. That's for another day. But one personality type is the S personality of that. It's the steady, the personality. 69.7% of the population of this country fits into that personality type. 70%. Over two-thirds in that personality. And that personality type says this: we like things the way they are, they're steady, and don't change them. Is that you? Is that you? Now, I want to remind you what's been happening in our country, in our world the last 2 years. We just can't say our country. We have been in a world financial crisis. And we're still in it. Do you believe that? Now, if there's some idiot on TV that says, oh, it's over, we're past it. How stupid can you be? Over it? What do you mean? We've created all this money. You know, where did it come from? Well, let's just pick it out of air. It's like my brother when I was growing up. He thought that Dad had plenty of money, had a tree out back that you could just go harvest it off of that. In fact, this was before air conditioning. My mother heard him tell one of his friends one day, said, "That's okay, my dad's got plenty of money." You know, and maybe that's the way our world thinks. But I want you to know, we're in a crisis. And you know what? We've had to be flexible, haven't we? Have things changed for you financially? Anybody? Has it changed for you? It hadn't changed for all of us? Or if you don't think it's changed, you better wake up and smell the coffee. Unless I go and steal it. Take it from you. Now, so are we in agreement? Flexibility is not part of our nature, not something we want. We buck against flexibility. All right, secondly. I want you to see in this passage that I read to you from Hebrews 11, the reason why I chose it, that flexibility is part of the root of faith. Do you see why I say that? You see why I say that flexibility is at the root of faith? Did it take some flexibility on Abraham's part when God says, "Now I want you to get up and leave," and when he then asked, "Well, where are we going, God?" He said, "I'm going to show you." How does that usually turn out? When you were growing up and one of your friends came up to you and said, "Let's go somewhere," and he said, "Where are we going?" He said, I'll just show you. It takes a lot of trust, doesn't it, to go with someone that doesn't even tell you the destination. Do you see? See how we link the two? Took a lot of flexibility. How about Noah? Here's Noah. There's never been rain before. And God's showing him there's going to be rain. Well, what is rain? It's like kids in West Texas. Met some of those kids that they're 7, 8 years old before they saw rain. You know, what is that? And they come inside and they say, "Mom, there's water falling out of the sky. Never seen it before. Never seen that before." And think on that for just a minute. You've never seen rain before. And then God tells you to go do what? Build a boat. Build a boat for what? And look at the size of it. I mean, this is craziness. But I want you to see that both Noah and Abraham were what? Flexible. Very flexible when it came to God. To do exactly what God said. Number three. The object of our flexibility matters greatly. Now, I know some of you have been thinking about some stories of some people who had an idea for you to be flexible about something that didn't work out so good. Now, here's what we can do. This is all we've got to do. I know some of you are tracking with me already. You're thinking about some of your friends who came in with this great idea that this is what we're going to do. And I've been part of those brain trusts growing up. This is a wonderful thing. You just attach this rope up here on this limb of this tree, and then you get in this other tree. And you bend this tree back, and then you swing out with that. And boy, some of my friends could make it sound so good. And they just had the gift of you could visualize that. And I was very flexible at that point in my life. And the question is, how'd that work out? And the answer to that was, not too good. Not too good. Because one of the things that it was predicated upon was that that limb was going to hold the rope. And as soon as that limb broke, you know what happened to the rope? It was no longer taut. And so the whole idea went out the window. But you didn't go out the window. Some other music started playing for you. Out of the tree. Do you get me, darling? Do you understand? Flexibility, who you trust, who you're flexible with, the object of that flexibility matters a great deal. We're trusting people in our world with our lives and our futures that do not deserve our trust. Do not. There's only one person who deserves our trust and our flexibility. And who is that? The one who has proven himself. Number four. Flexibility means obedience. You see, Noah could have said, oh, yes, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm trusting you. I'm doing exactly what you want me to do. Lord, I'm praising you each day. I'm telling people about all this. And hasn't cut the first piece of lumber. Hasn't assembled anything. Is he being obedient? It's one thing to talk about it. It's quite another to do it. To be obedient. Flexibility means obedience. Was Abraham obedient? You bet. Eventually. He got around to doing exactly what God told him to do. He left his country. And he went to this place that he had not seen before. And he experienced great blessing because of that. Number five. What does he mean by that? We must be flexible with home? You see, I read you this story about Abraham because God redefined what home was for him, didn't he? Gave him a new home, new place. But even in that place, it was temporary. Because what do we find out? Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. A city designed and built by God. And what's the city that's being referred to here? In Revelation chapter 21, you go to the back of the book here. Here's John's revelation. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, the home of God is among his people. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will remove all their sorrows. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, for the old world and its evils are gone forever. Let me tell you, when we say yes to Jesus and become flexible in his eyes to do what he says to do, we are looking forward not to what he's going to do with our little wood, hay, and stubble that we've got our hands on now, but to the city that he has prepared for us. We are literally living in tents looking for a city. The city of God, which shall be forever with him. He's going to be our God. We're going to be his people. Together forever with him. That's flexibility. Number six. Now, that's a partially incorrect statement. I should have said we desire to be a flexible church. Now, we have some examples of flexible church. It's one of our values to be flexible. Just like simplicity last week. One of our values to be simple before the Lord. It's not rocket science. It's simply listening to Him and being obedient. Flexibility is a great value. A great value for us. Just look at the places we've gypsied around. Meeting places. We've got to change. God's moving in this direction. Flexibility. You're part of that. Sometimes we've been willing with flexibility, and other times not. Remember when I had one of those meetings, one of the schools we were meeting in, principal called us in to tell us that, to let us know we were going to be gone real soon. Now, there were other words associated with it, but the bottom line was that there was no meeting place. That meeting place was drying up. So, now, you could have argued with God and said, God, why? And I did. and I cried out to Him and I said, God, you've got to go in there and change her mind. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And I don't know if she did or not, but what I do know is she was used by God. Because it wasn't her plan that got us out of that school. It was God's plan. Had to be flexible. Flexible. Last point. What about you? How flexible are you? I'm not talking about flexibility when it comes to the idiot ideas of the other people that are in your life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how supple are you in the hands of God to hear His voice and to do exactly what He tells you to do. You know, there are times God defies conventional wisdom, doesn't He? At times God defies financial wisdom in this country. I always have to laugh about that. All the people that have been giving us financial advice for years now. It really entertains me. Because it's a bankrupt system. How flexible are you? Are you ready to hear the voice of God? Now hear me on this. I know some of us are saying, but Dusty, I'm not hearing the voice of God right now. God's not speaking. Wrong. He is speaking. We just can't hear Him. And why can't we hear Him? Because our own agenda, our own way of doing things is screaming so loudly. There's not room in the airwaves to hear his voice. He's speaking. He speaks through others. He speaks through his word. He speaks directly. He speaks through circumstances. Sometimes he sends angels to speak a message. Sometimes he writes it in the sky. But many times it's that still small voice that comes. Maybe we've been looking for his voice in the tornado. And maybe he wants to speak in the gentle breeze of a quiet morning. What's he saying to you? Are you flexible? Now hear me on this, church. We're about to go through some times that we're going to see in our lifetime that are going to require great flexibility on our part. I believe that with all my heart. You can't thumb your nose in the face of God like we as a nation have and think there's no recourse. And right now we're messing with Israel. The Bible is very clear about Israel and the Jews. The Bible says he will bless those who bless them and what? And curse those who curse them. That's pretty plain. There are people right now in our country and our government that want to cut it off. I say that today not to get on a sidetrack about Israel today, but just as an example of, are we willing to be flexible in the hands of God? Now, is that a message of gloom and doom? No, sir. Because commensurate with this time, of all the stuff happening that has begun to happen, is the greatest opportunity that has ever existed in the history of the planet to share the gospel of Jesus with people and see a great harvest come in. And I'm counting on that. But I won't be on the front line of obedience. How about you? I invite you to come and pray. Come to the altar. And you know what? I just can't imagine that you've heard this message today and you haven't got anything to pray about. I just can't imagine that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord who stepped out of heaven, came to this earth, lived a perfect life, was born of a virgin, fulfilled the scripture to end time, went to the cross, died in our place as our sacrifice, became our atonement on that cross, was dead, buried. 3 days later, he arose from the dead with the power of the resurrection. He ascended back to the Father and sat down with work completed, and then sent his Holy Spirit to this earth, the very Spirit of Christ, to bring us power to see his salvation go to the earth. His kingdom purposes to happen. He is the Lord of all. What is he calling on you to do and to be? Have you never If you've never received Jesus as Savior today, you can receive Him into your life simply by asking to come in by faith. Take Him at His word. Be flexible. Admit you've sinned and that you need a Savior, Jesus. As a believer in Christ today, I invite you to pray with me that we could hear God's voice clearly and be supple in His hands, malleable, movable, but only in His hands. Lord, right now, as we open the altar, we ask You to come. We ask You to come and to touch us with Your power. Lord, we don't want to be the same people when we leave here and when we came. Come, Holy Spirit. Come now. Pastors, life group leaders, if you would take your places for prayer. The altar's up. Hope those of you who can make it to the baptism this afternoon at the north end of Tybee, where we usually baptize. Five so far that we know of. There generally is a couple of others that join in and at that time. But we'll look forward to that. I want to pray a prayer for you and send you out in the name of Jesus right now to be the church. Who is the church?
We are the church.
We are the church. Lord, right now, in the name and the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus, Lord, we send out this group to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, the mouthpiece, the ears, the encouragement, the salvation. Lord, I thank You. I thank You for what You're going to do. Use us now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you.